And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, I'm bald, and I don't make any, you know, there's no problem with that, and I'm fine with it. I'm really fine with it. There was a period when I wasn't fine with it. There was a period when I was in my late 20s, I was losing my hair, and I began to panic like a lot of, every guy does when he loses his hair. Every guy starts to wonder what he should do. What should I do? I'm losing my hair. What should I do? Should I invest in new shampoos? Should I get the scalp massage? You don't know anything about it, you know? So you're looking around, and I looked into the whole, oh, God, that whole barbaric hair plug thing that they slit your scalp open and pull it together. No amount of hair in the world was worth that. I don't care if I had a thick, curly head of locks like Shirley Temple. I don't care if I looked like Don King. I didn't need that. So I went bald. Now, yesterday on the phone, and you go to my website, you know, I'm bald, see, and I keep my hair cut short. Yesterday on the phone, a guy calls. We're screening calls. He says, "You bald-headed bastard." So now, and it was a Mexican guy. If he has the right to call me a bald-headed bastard, don't I have the right to call him a stupid spick? I do, don't I? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. I can't help being bald. I can't help it. It's not a failing of character. It's not a moral lapse. It's not something that I did wrong. It's not some crime I committed. I was born genetically, this is who I am, bald. The same thing with a Mexican. It's not a failing of character. It's not a failing of his morality. He was born to Hispanic parents. That is his genetic makeup. And if he indicts me as a bastard based upon some, you know, genetic failing or non-failing, then why can't I say you're just a spick? So from now on, I'm going to start throwing those racial epithets around every time some guy, I don't care, call me bald all you want, but I'm going to come back with the N-word. I'll fire it back. You better watch out now. Don't be a baldist. Don't be one of them bald bashers. I'm bald. What are you going to do about it? Most bald guys are sex machines anyway. You've heard all the news, haven't you? You've read the newspapers. You've seen that look in your wife's eyes. We get it done, okay? So don't worry about that. Now, the reason why I bring all of this up is gay marriage. Yes, of course, that's what it was all leading into. And the reason why is Bush. See, nobody cares about gay people. Let's get something out on the table right now. Every time these gay topics come up, who cares? No one cares except the gay people. Straight people couldn't care less. If all the gay people tomorrow fell off the edge of the earth, it's like any other mainstream group. White people, for instance, are not exactly going to shed a tear if all the black folks and all the people of color leave because life just gets a little easier, or at least that's what they think. Yes, we have to deal with the anomalies of life, but wouldn't it be much easier if just all of those people that are making all the noise just leave? That's just the way it is. I'm not saying that. I personally like the cultural enrichment that a diversity of people brings, but then I'm weird. I'm bald. I'm bald. I have an earring. I'm getting a huge tattoo of my wife's face on my left arm in a couple of weeks. Jimmy's going to do that over there in Newberry Park. Jimmy Hayek, man, this guy is an artist. I've seen his stuff. He's going to do a big, fat portrait of Maria's kisser right on my left arm. Now, have I lost my mind or what? You're right. You look at me and you go, what, are you out of your freaking mind? But think about this. If Maria should die, if we should divorce, it's very attractive to women to see another woman there. It'll always make her wonder, do I measure up? All right, anyway, so the reason why I say all this is this gay marriage thing is back. You know, you don't win any points in America advocating for gays. You just don't win any points. It doesn't do any politician any good to say gay people ought to have this, gay people ought to have that. This doesn't do them any good. It kills them. It murders them. It causes them more problems than why? Because Americans are still essentially bigoted toward homosexuals. I don't give a crap how many people say they got all kinds of gay friends. Guaranteed, they'll run the minute you bring up this gay marriage thing. They don't believe in it. Why? Because the Bible tells them that it ain't no good. The dumb people say that. Now, there are a few people who are a little bit smarter than that, and they realize that Bible argument doesn't work with really smart people, so they got to come up with another one, and the one they come up with is, it's costing us money. Now, there you go. That's the one. That's the baby. In America, if it costs money, forget it. I don't care if it's to make somebody happy, if it's to actually bring someone a little bit of joy. If it costs money, my God, it's bad. Time and again, that's all you ever hear people say. Well, think of the money that this trial is costing. Think of the money that this thing here is costing. Think of the money that the thing... Yeah, well, think of the money your big fat mouth is costing me. Think of the money your dumb kid cost me because I just had to send a cop over to your house and have a nightstick brought down over his head because his party's going on until 4 o'clock. Think of that, Charlie. People in America don't like gay people. They don't like them. They don't like them. They don't like them. They don't like them, man. Just like Danny, my main man, Danny, what's the cat? The guy that was the great actor. No, not Danny Kaye. What are you, out of your mind? Danny Kaye? No, that Italian guy who's fantastic. Danny Aiello. My main man, Danny Aiello, there in Do the Right Thing when he says, when you come into Sal's, no music. No music, no music, no music. That's what we are in America. No gays, no gays, no gays, baby. Because they're a pain in the ass, if you'll pardon the expression. They got AIDS. And now they've got television shows where they're actually showing straight guys how to look like human beings for a change. It's called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. You seen that one? Do you understand what this means? Do you understand that gay men are doing for straight men what Hugh Hefner could never do in his wildest dreams, in his wildest stroke-induced hallucinations, in the wildest hallucinations that he ever had with his face parked between the twins? He never in his wildest... Hugh Hefner could never do for the straight man what gay guys are doing on his show. They're teaching us how to dress, teaching us how to decorate an apartment, teaching us how to bathe like a human being, how to do our nails, all this stuff. So some girl will walk into our place and say, here's a guy that, you know, he actually has his act together. He's very attractive. He's a, you know, handsome cat. He's got it together, right? So I said this, the gay marriage thing. Bush has come out and very, very strongly has sat on the fence. The last president to come out in favor of gay rights was a guy by the name of Bill Clinton that everybody hates. Bill Clinton took a very courageous stand in the early 1990s. He said that gay people should be allowed to be out in the United States military. And the customary courage that our country responded with was, you bastard, no way, I don't want any fags in the army. Of course, those very same people wouldn't have the guts to go up to Washington and to take a nice big sharp pen and find every single name of every single gay soldier on that Vietnam Memorial and scratch it off. Would you have the guts to do that? No, they wouldn't have that kind of guts. So Bush did that. And, of course, Bush is the guy that cheated on his wife, and Bush did. But he's the first president with the balls to come out and say, you know, gay people are Americans. What did I say? Bush? I said Clinton. I meant to say Clinton. Bush is the traditional American president who sits on the fence, waffles, and he doesn't do anything. Why? Because his party, that Republican Party, those guys that, oh, that think they got the whole answer to everything, they are still locked in terror and in fear of the Pat Buchanan, Jerry Falwell, Bill Simon wing of their party. They're still locked in terror and in fear, and they still have wrapped around their, you know what, the hands, the icy cold grip of the Bible bangers in that party. They can't get out and act like men if you put a gun to their heads because they got the Jerry Falwell wing squeezing the Royal American until they squeal. Squeezing that Royal American. Did I ever tell you about the device that I had for... black guys who can't get a reservation in a hotel because they sound black. So if you call them and go, yeah, I'd like to, get a reservation.
Oh, I'm sorry, we're booked up, sir. It's another Negro. Yeah, we don't have...
So what you do is you get a clamp on your you-know-what, and you squeeze. Yeah, I'd like to get a reservation if you wouldn't mind. Thank you. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you. Goodbye. Yeah, that took care of that, man. I just squeezed it. So I'm going to market that one out to my African-American friends. So... what you got there is a president who, you know, once again has come out against gay marriage. Let me tell you why Americans don't like gay marriage. It ain't that they don't like it. It's they don't want to have to deal with it. And I'm going to tell you something right now, and then I'm going to get off this topic. You better take this to the bank. Every single gay person listening to me right now, you haven't got one friend in the straight world. Not one. You don't have any friends. You got a whole bunch of posers that want to go to your bar and take their girlfriend to dance there. You got a lot of posers that want to be seen at your parties. And by the way, they'd love for you to come to their party so that it could be seen that you're very egalitarian and you have all of your gay friends and your black friends. But friend, come, you know, when it comes to, you know, push comes to shove and you got to get it right, laid right there on the table, man, and somebody's with a meat cleaver hanging over it, they're going to run. You ain't got a friend. That's why gay folks, forget it. Will you just forget it? You're not going to get gay marriage. You're not going to get it. Why? Because the straight mainstream doesn't want to know about it. Because they still buy the bullcrap that you're going to infect their kids with the gay disease. Because they still buy the bullcrap that you're pederasts. Because they still buy the bullcrap that you're sick and twisted. Because even though they say they're your very good friend and they just love you and need you and can't live without you, when push comes to shove, all those great straight friends you think you got, they go into that polling booth, man, they're going to vote against gay marriage because they think you're a pervert. And all the reasonable arguments in the world, like I just said about gays in the military, how many gay men died in Vietnam? How many gay men died in World War II? You're going to carve their names out of the Vietnam Memorial? The way straight people think in this country, the hatred that runs so deep for gay people in this country is they would gladly go to Washington, D.C. right now and carve off the names of gay men off that Vietnam War Memorial. That's how much hatred there is for gay people in America. So forget it. Forget it. Now, if you want some advice, how are you going to get straight people on your side? I got ideas, but if I were you, I'd say just forget it. Just tell them to shove it. Just go ahead and get married anyway. But don't try to convince any straight folks. The straight folks are the ones that need to be educated, and the only way they're going to get educated is from each other. There will never be gay marriage in this country so long as the straight people, the mainstream of Americans, hate homosexuals, and believe me, they do. No matter how much they tell you they're your friend, they're not. Now, I hate to be the one to break the news to you, but that's just it. And the last sitting American president to have the guts to come out and say gay people should be out in the military, well, you know what happened to him. He's the worst piece of garbage that anybody... I've never heard a president reviled like Bill Clinton. They hate him. That's what it gets you. They never liked anything about the guy. And that gay in the military thing, that just put the final nail in the coffin as far as they were concerned. So now that I'm full of good news, let me tell you about our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. And we got an R.C. Collins email of the day. And coming up, Jeff Dowder from the National... What's the name of his organization, Janice? The National... National Remembrance Clearinghouse on missing children and that whole phone hoax thing. You ain't going to want to miss this. We're also going to talk to Dean Wheeler about how to forgive. The Volkswagen has produced its last car. Isn't that at least one thing that we could actually stand in front of Adolf Hitler and say thank you for? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
one 800 449 8686. And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
We're going to take a walk down memory lane with Bobby Dooley in a few minutes on the Phil Hendry Show. We'll also have today a visit from Jeff Dowder of the National Remembrance Clearinghouse on how do you remind people who have lost children that their children are still missing, because they may forget. And also Dean Wheeler will be with us to talk about the Volkswagen, the last Volkswagen rolling off the line. And, you know, Adolf Hitler, maybe we can forgive and forget. 1-800-449-8686. Just a couple of notes out of the sports file. We always like to climb on into the old sports file. Every time we have an opportunity to make life a little bit more miserable for our friends in the sporting world, we always like to do that. Malcolm Glazer, who owns the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, is rumored to be in negotiation to purchase the Los Angeles Dodgers. And, of course, I've heard many fine people from Florida talking about what an outstanding owner he has been for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in terms of their football prowess. And I don't know whether he has any opinion on the personality hires for his football team, some of whom are a suspect. But in any event, Glazer's in negotiation to buy the Dodgers. Now, one of the things that may hang him up is that he has a dual, he would have dual ownership, owning the Dodgers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This seems to be against the law. I don't know if it's against federal law. Is it actually violates antitrust law, or is it just a rule that the National Football League or Major League Baseball has? I'm not sure. I wasn't all that interested, so I didn't look it up. I'm not that interested in the story to actually do research. I'm just going to give opinions based upon just feelings that I have. Maybe one of my fine young friends in there, perhaps Janice, do you know whether, or Chris, why don't you do it? You got a couple of knuckles up your nose there already. Why don't you, there you go. But I don't care. Fact of the matter is, there's a problem. So the thought is he would sell the Buccaneers and buy a team here in Los Angeles. Or he would buy a team and move it to Los Angeles. Or he would move the Buccaneers here. Either way, all of you sports fans in Tampa, you'll get a good noseful as to the real loyalty Malcolm Glazer has for your fine burg very, very shortly. You love the Buccaneers, do you? We'll see how much you love them when old Malcolm sets his eyes on Los Angeles and the so-called millions that are available to him here. And I'm not so sure that they are, but I guess he's got, he's got stars in his eyes. All of those clowns want to come out here and they want to have, they want to break bread with J-Lo. Glazer just wants to feast his eyes on that big, round, fine woman. Looks like he's going to leave the pirate ship behind and he's going to be meeting up with J-Lo's behind. That's what's going to be happening there with old Malk. So you cats in Tampa, keep a close eye on this guy. And as you have great love for your team, which you should, and as you have a great affection for your football team, as you should, and as you bleed and you sweat and you cry over the fortunes of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just remember there's a guy sitting at the helm who couldn't care less. And probably the coach doesn't care any. And as a matter of fact, the players couldn't either. That's the sad thing about sports. The fans, you weep for these teams. And the players, they don't care. Show me the money. That's the catchphrase, baby. Show me the money. Yeah, here's the money. Can you get a good look at it there? I'm bent far enough over. All right, next piece of sporting news. Not really too much, because as I said, we're going to kind of, we don't have a lot of Kobe information for you. But we do have this item out of Detroit, which I thought was kind of interesting. Matt Millen is going to be fined by the National Football League. Mr. Millen is the president of the Detroit Lions. He's being fined by the National Football League because he did not comply with the league's diversity guidelines. In other words, he did not interview a minority candidate for the head coaching job of the Detroit Lions. He went right out and hired that fireball, that fantastic coach with such a track record of success, Steve Mariucci. Now, Millen, you meathead, you're supposed to interview black candidates because apparently some of them used to play football and some of them may actually know how to coach. I understand that Tony Dungy is a great one. I understand Dennis Green was a good one. Lovey Davis is pretty good. Who's the guy with the Ravens? Lewis. Lewis is terrific. You know, in other words, there's a lot of guys that could be coaching your football team who are of African-American descent. Now, here's the Lions' lame excuse. Listen to this. You're going to love this. The Lions said they didn't interview African-American. They said they approached five African-American candidates for interviews, but were rejected because of the widespread belief Mariucci had the job locked up. So, in other words, the African-American candidates didn't want to interview for the job because they believed that Mariucci had the job locked up. Well, how did they get that idea, Millen? Listen, you blockhead, start doing things above board. You know, it's not worth it to win a Super Bowl unless you can do it standing up on your own two feet like a man and doing things the decent way, okay? Don't get off on a bad foot there in Detroit with this guy Mariucci who ain't going to win you. Well, you know what, on second thought, he probably will bring you a Super Bowl. But what's that between friends?
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time now for a stroll down memory lane on the Phil Hendry Show. And this email request for a memory lane is from Jessica. Jessica writes, hello there. I'm a backstage pass holder, and I love it. I've gotten a bunch of people hooked on the show, and now they all have memberships. It's the funniest show I've ever heard, and it keeps me laughing all the way home from school, parentheses, over an hour drive. I have a request. Can you put the bit about, I think it was Bobby Dooley, hanging her underwear off of her tree outside to bring her lost dog back home? Just thinking about that one cracks me up. Well, Jessica, you bet. Here it is. Bobby Dooley saying she doesn't want any yellow ribbons because it breaks the color code, but that doesn't keep her from hanging her panties, dirty panties out there, to bring her dog home.
I've been listening to these two individuals, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, and I have never heard a more insensitive lady in my life. This lady who hangs yellow ribbons is because she's hoping that somehow her son, who's defended this country, who's dying for this country, will be back. The only one who is wants to be a big shot is you, because you said that in order for this lady to hang the yellow ribbons, she should have come to you and make a some sort of request from the association. You already mentioned about 10 times that you're the president of the association. Did you make a request to the association, ma'am? In order for even if you're the president, you cannot hang anything unless the association, which I'm sure they have the board of directors, approves it.
So you can do it. I agree with Armando.
You can do it, but this lady cannot. On top of that, the yellow ribbons are pretty, because when I see them, I know that there's the life of somebody who's fighting for us, and their parents want them to come back. If I see a three pairs of underwear hanging anywhere, any place, and they're put there in order to attract dogs by scent, I imagine that they must be dirty, because if they were washed, they wouldn't have any scent.
That's the point.
Dirtiest thing in the world, to hang your dirty underwear. And it's not a pun, but it's always said, hanging the dirty underwear. That's what you're doing, lady.
You know, we don't want you in this country.
We don't want you in this country. We don't want you anywhere where children are dying, and you're mocking and saying that this lady wants to be a good shot. This lady is crying because her son is missing.
All right, Armando, that's a good point. Let's let the Ms. Dooley.
First of all, to listen to this gentleman, you'd think that his wife never had to wash any underwear in her life.
She watches it, but she doesn't hang it anywhere for people to see.
If you lost a dog, how else are you going to get it home but by hanging your wife's underwear out? I don't understand.
Put like everybody does, put signs.
Put a sign up that says, yeah, my dog's missing.
Put ads in the newspaper.
No,
we've done
that. That's the old way of doing it.
We have rules against that in our association. You can't put a dog.
You have rules against putting ads in the paper? That's what we did once, and we recover our dog. Gave a bottle of whiskey out.
I lost my dog. Do you want me to put an ad in the Miami Herald? Is that it? Lost one dog in California. Do you know where it is in Miami? I don't think so.
Put the sign, whatever the dog was lost.
We have rules against it in our homeowners association.
Rules against putting signs in the newspaper?
So you can't put up yellow ribbons, and you can't put up a sign that says I lost a dog, but you can hang unwashed underwear from trees.
You know, Phil, this is character assassination. We're trying to get our dog back.
But hanging smelly underwear on trees? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is just unbelievable.
I think you're focusing too. The underwear is slightly stained, but it...
Lightly stained with what?
God!
In the front or in the rear?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know?
What are you asking my wife, sir?
I couldn't care less, but my wife doesn't even stain it. I mean, she does. I'm sure that you're saying, let me see it. Hang it outside.
Here's the thing. Dogs are attracted...
We know, by scent. We got all the thing about the... The problem we're having, Ms. Dooley, is that you'll go ahead and hang your underwear, but a lady who wants to hang yellow ribbons for a boy that's MIA, you won't let him do that.
It is against our CCNRs.
Hanging underwear isn't?
There is nothing in the CCNRs about hanging underwear. You're right, there isn't.
Is there anything against hanging yellow ribbons?
Yes, it's out-of-season decoration.
How about the decoration of dirty underwear?
That's not decoration.
What are decorating? Porno or something?
No, it's not decoration. It's to get a dog back. We lost the dog that we love very much. I lost my son in March.
Do you ever, ma'am, do you ever,
please.
Do you ever start to think that maybe the dog left because of the smell of the underwear?
Aren't you funny?
Another stroll down memory lane here on the Phil Henry Show. Bobby Dooley trying to get her dog home by hanging her filthy underwear on trees. Just another reason why people love the Phil Henry Show. Please stand by. Palm Beach weather, partly cloudy, continued light and breezy. And now more on Breeze 103. All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. If you do have an email, phs@philhenryshow.com, and we have an R.C. Collins email of the day. We didn't get to that because we just ran out of time, as they say in the old biz. But the best R.C. Collins email advising him as to whether he should go to Iraq and bring Hussein's head out on the end of his bayonet or go up north and work for his father in the bottling plant, the best one wins a free Phil Henry Best Of CD from 2002, and it's called World Famous. Coming up at 5, Jeff Dowder, coming up next hour, Jeff Dowder, and also following that, Dean Wheeler will be with us today from the Healing Hands Foundation, and that ought to be a really interesting conversation we're going to have with him. Number is 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back. Don't forget our website, and stick around.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So anyway, this Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. If you haven't seen it, you got to check this out because, as I said earlier in the hour, and I couldn't get into this fully because we were really on the whole gay marriage thing, which I probably never should have brought up, and I'm sorry that I did, and forgive me because I know most of you folks couldn't care less, but I do, and so I talked about it. Anyway. And President Bush took his very courageous stand. I believe that gay marriage is, well, I'll get back to you. Well, thank you, Mr. President. Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. Now, what's this about? Well, straight men look like slobs, smell like pigs, and act like dopes. So they get some gay guys to show them how to do it. Gay guys. I didn't say Hugh Hefner. I didn't say GQ. I didn't say Esquire magazine. Gay guys. You know why? Because they're the first cats to come along that know exactly what a guy's supposed to do to get a woman interested in him. I think it's a riot. You got to see this show. It's fantastic. I haven't seen it exactly, but I've been around enough of it to know. I know what it's about. Don't worry about it. I get it that they're very flamboyant. And I, you know, Darman Greg, or not Darman Greg. What's the one about the gay guy? Ain't it Darman Greg? I know, I'm kidding. Will and Grace? And they have the they got to have the flamboyant character on there, right? You know, Will and Grace, they have the one guy who's just, listen, you know, the real flaming guy, right? Because the stereotype, like, in other words, if you had a show about black guys, you always have to have at least one guy going, man, I tell you, he went right up the hill. Yeah, he get gone. You got to have the one real stereotype. That's to make everybody comfortable with the fact that they see, because Will and Grace, don't make any mistake, Will and Grace doesn't, because it's a number one show, doesn't mean anybody accepts gay people. They only accept gay people on two levels in this society. If they're invisible, or if they're so mincing and flaming and swishing that we can have some fun with them. Otherwise, anything in between those two things is very frightening and frankly unacceptable to America. So Will and Grace fills that void, as only NBC can, by stereotyping gays into that mincing queer thing, or the guy who's basically just sort of invisible. He's just, he looks straight, acts straight. He is straight. He's straight, but they say he's gay. Yeah, I don't buy it. I think that, you know what's going to happen on that show? Everybody likes a happy ending on Will and Grace, right? And any show, everybody likes a happy ending. The only way that they can end that show, the last episode that they ever have, he's going to sleep with that chick. And he'll just, she'll cure him of his gay, of his gayism. She'll cure him. Just like that movie, Geely, that Ben Affleck pile of crap. What happened to you, man? What happened to Ben Affleck? Chasing Amy. all those funny, the Mallrats flicks and stuff, and then and Good Will Hunting. All of a sudden, the guy is an action hero? What? Whoever your agent is, whoever your manager is, fire him and then shoot him. Get back to the stuff you did. Oh, I know. You're making a lot of money. I can't blame a guy for making a... I can't blame you for that, man. And Jennifer Lopez, all right, you know, I got that already. Just don't be so public with it, man. That's what's killing your movie, this Geely thing about a guy, a straight cat, changing some lesbian hit woman. Please. Okay, let me get this straight. I'm going to play a hitman, and she is gay. She's a lesbian.
Right.
And I will, what? I will...
You'll turn her straight. See, it's fantastic. And everyone will want to see her big ass. It's great. I think it's a wonderful idea. I think it's a great opportunity for you, Ben.
You know, Billy, you're fired, man. And,
what are you talking about?
Well, just, you know, you're just fired. Get out of here, okay? You're old-time bull crap. Get out of here. Go find Don Rickles or whatever it is you used to do. I say, you know what? Forgive me, Don. I think Don's hysterical. Go find Buddy Hackett, okay?
He's dead.
Well, still go find him. So, you know... Anyway, NBC's got the show Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and the thing is knocking out of the park. I just think it's hysterical that Hefner and all these guys, Penthouse, they all thought they knew how to make us attractive to women, and it only took some gay guys to do it and actually nail it down, because the fact is, these guys, these gay guys, are getting these guys laid on these shows. Not on the show, but the women are coming in, he's proposing, everything is ending up fantastic. Five gay guys, are they all mincing sort of cats? They are, aren't they? A couple of them are. You gotta have a mincer in there. You must, absolutely must. Otherwise, the straight audience will not accept it. And when I say straight audience, make no mistake, the audience is female. Although a lot of guys will watch that. Now, Boy Meets Boy is another one of these shows which exploits, shows us the gay lifestyle. And this show is interesting because it's a kind of a flip on the old Jenny Jones theme. They have a gay guy and 15 other gay guys. And this gay guy is going to look for his friend, a boyfriend, right? But intermixed with the gay guys, the 15, is three straight guys. And so the big gag is, what if he picks a straight guy? And then he'll say, you mean you're straight? And the guy will say, yeah, why, you fool, you tried to make a fool out of me. And then he'll blow his head off with a shotgun right there on the camera. So it'll be fantastic. Guy, he meets 15 gay guys, and that's primarily a female audience, too. But anyway, there's only one problem with the Queer Eye for a Straight Guy. There's going to be a backlash. And you know who the backlash is going to be from? Who do you think the backlash will be from? You've got these gay guys dressing up these dudes and making them attractive to women, or just making them more attractive. Who do you think the backlash is going to come from? Don't know, do you? You want me to tell you? Want me to tell you now or after the commercial? I'll tell you, I have no commercial, so I have to tell you now. Women. And I'll tell you why. That used to be their job. Think about it. Every girlfriend you ever had. Can I just move a chair? You know, do you want to go get some clothes? I mean, seriously, any woman that really was really interested in you would buy you clothes, fix up your house, do this, do that, do something else, right? Now, if she just waltzes into the world of a guy who's already got his act together that way, she's going to feel pretty intimidated, right? Which means you won't be attracting those kind of caregiver broads anymore. Excuse the broad thing. You won't be attracting those caregiver women anymore. You'll be attracting women who are more needy. Women who will need to hang on you, cling to you, smother you. Women who are going to be weak and that you'll have to pay attention to. You'll have to take care of. And then you'll blow your brains out. And then you'll shoot her. It's a murder-homicide. No, but seriously, that's the kind of woman you're going to... I don't know what's going to happen. I think the backlash will come from the women. Liz Taylor and Larry Fortensky, okay? What did she do for him, okay? Liz Taylor, she meets this guy out at Betty Ford, pulls the bourbon IV out of his arm, says, you know, slaps a couple of, you know, slaps him across the face, does something else with his face, says, come on, Charlie, we're getting you dressed, gives him a pompadour. That guy looked like something out of a flying saucer when she got done with him. Did you see that guy? First, when you first saw the guy, like, well, okay, he's just a normal piece of white trash that fell out of the back end of a truck, and he looks just fine. She got that guy a processed pompadour. He got the fully buffed nails. She went out and I think she had his ears done, his nose done, his eyeballs were lifted. It wasn't even a processed pompadour. It was like more of a pompadour mullet. It was just something new, something unexplained, something, it was a, yeah, kind of a jelly roll mullet thing that was going on. It came out here, it went back there, it stuck up here, it's just everywhere. And he was big, and he was dumb, and he was good looking, and he was in the tux, and he had the teeth redone, because I bet you when she met him, man, he had nothing but green and brown up there. So he had the Bubba teeth all pulled and some new ones stuck in, and then she started waltzing him around Hollywood like he's the next best thing to Richard Burton. And the next thing you know, she dumped him like a bat. She dumped him like a case of the crabs. Got rid of that guy like a quicker than a hot fart out of a duck's you-know-what. See, that's the thing. A woman fixes the guy up. You know, the old saying, you can dress him up, you can't take him off the farm. And Liz Taylor, for all of her experience and knowledge and everything else that she's got, she didn't have that figured out. She pulled this guy right out of the back of a Indian bingo parlor someplace, dragged him across the dust, threw him into the back of the limo, said, first of all, get me to the dentist, get me over to the wig shop. We got a lot of we got a lot of stops we got to make. I want to take a stop at the wig shop, then we got to get over to the tooth capping place, then oh man, this is going to be a long, it better be worth it, Larry, you better be performing big time tonight. All right, no more booze either. At least no more of that stuff, just beer, okay? Okay, all right, malt liquor. And then after she got all of that stuff done, guess what, she threw him right out into the street because he was a bore. B-O-R-E, the guy was a colossal freaking bore. Now, did you see this Liza Minnelli situation? Oh, my God. Look, and if you ever want to discourage a kid from getting into show business, just show them the story of that poor, poor woman. I feel horrible for her. She's just, you know, it's just sad. Liza, can I just say something? You know, you don't know me, and I'm not really a fan of your music. I don't really hear it. Can I just say this as one human being to another? It's done. It's over. You've had a great run. Your mother was... You're not your mom. Just now retire to a little penthouse, and if you like men, find a guy that's straight. If you like women, that's okay, too. Just get off the... Get out of the front page. Stop it. You don't need any more concert tours, no more movies. You're done. You're done, and you're retired. Start losing some weight. Get off the pills. You know when I knew she wasn't right for that guy? When he was bitching about her cigarette smoking. That's when I would have taken a cigarette and put it out in his freaking nose. Oh, you don't like it, huh? Well, here, let me just put it out. Ms. Minnelli, seriously, it's all over, and nobody could be prouder of your career than you. It's been fantastic. Just stop it. Stop it. People are taking advantage of you, and they're making you look like an idiot in the process. Just no more of these fruit balls, these wigged-out cats. That guy looks like he crawled off the 815 saucer from Venus. And the Joyce DeWitt hair, get rid of that, too, as long as we're on the subject. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Authorities in Indiana said the woman who got in touch with the parents of a girl who's been missing since 1986, saying she might be their daughter, was in fact carrying out a hoax. I don't know if you heard this story, but it's just, it says it all. It's emotionally exhausted the family. Police said the woman who got in touch with the parents of Shannon Marie Sherrill was in fact Donna Walker. It wasn't the missing girl at all. They've issued an arrest warrant charging her with identity deception, a felony, and with false informing. They're looking for this Walker woman now. Indiana State Police Sergeant said the hoax was cruel. It is emotionally, physically, and exhausted, mentally exhausted the missing girl's family. The police have, they have no understanding as to what motivated this Walker woman. Jeff Dowder is on the line with us from Pasadena. Jeff is with an organization called the National Remembrance Clearinghouse. You are involved with missing kids?
That's correct.
And what is your take on someone that would do something like this? Apparently the police believe this woman got information off the internet, found out the home number of these people, and called them up and just perpetrated this hoax.
Well, first of all, Phil, we do have a statement we want to make on behalf of the National Remembrance Clearinghouse. The woman that was arrested today, Donna Walker, was not associated, nor was she acting on behalf of our organization. Our purpose has always been and will always be to keep the memory of missing children alive in the minds of their parents. This Donna Walker, by all accounts, was an individual working alone and was not using any prescribed methods of remembrance charted by the National Remembrance Clearinghouse.
All right, now your organization, you say, keeps alive the memory of missing kids?
That's correct.
How?
Well, it's a good question, Mr. Henry, and this is how we differ from this woman and perhaps other organizations. We place calls to the homes of families who have had a child go missing every year or two, generally on the anniversary of the child being missing. Our method is very straight ahead. Generally, people answer the phone. My name is Jeff Dowder. I'm with the National Remembrance Clearinghouse. According to our records, we want to remind you that your son or your daughter or your wife or whoever went missing on this date.
So you're calling people up to remind them that people that they love, they're missing?
Yes, sir. Why
is that necessary? Because I would imagine had I lost a loved one, I would never, that not a day would go by.
Well, it's a good question, but what we've found, if we could just back up a little bit, what we do is we want to remind the parents that their kid's missing.
And I understand that, but if I'd lost a child, I don't think a day would go by that I wouldn't know.
That's interesting, but what we have found is a lot of these crisis counselors, and I don't know if you know about them or not, but they have crisis counselors, and a lot of their work is very well received, but we've found that they're numbing people. See, when you go to a crisis counselor, the whole purpose is to forget what is hurting you. And that's the biggest danger. If you forget, if you get numbed out to the point where your child's missing, but it's, you know, I'm not going to say it's cool, but it's just sort of not that bad no more, then you may stop looking or you may slide back. And then the likelihood of them being found is very straight.
All right. This woman placing this phony phone call was trying to remind their family. Is that what you're saying?
I don't condone her method, but it's possible she was trying to remind them that their daughter was missing.
The lady placing the phony phone call?
Yes, sir.
It couldn't be just... Okay. And so they're reminded. They're not only reminded, these people were emotionally...
Yeah, because it is. It's...
I mean, the police say that this family was emotionally exhausted and very much just traumatized by this woman's call.
No, well, it's very. If you've forgotten that your child's missing and somebody calls up and says, you know, hello, you're gonna all of a sudden go through what we call stage 2-3 of trauma renewal or awareness renewal, and that is when you've gotten into a comfort level. And my kid wandered away from the car, or he's missing, or you know, well, that's okay. I guess I'll just have another kid or whatever I'm going to do, and then someone reminds you, yeah, the kid's missing. You go through stage 1 trauma renewal awareness, where everything about it is you remember about it, and then you're like, oh yeah, you know, and you do go through a lot of the trauma.
We're talking to Jeff Dowder with the National Remembrance Clearinghouse. His organization calls the families of children who went missing to remind them that their kids are missing. Now, anybody who hears that is going to think it's crazy to think that people will forget that their kid is missing. But you say crisis counselors, today's instant therapy helps people forget their pain and thus forget their kid is missing.
They don't 100% forget the kid's missing, but it's not that bad. It's not that bad. So that when they realize that the kid, so when we call them up, and I'll say, hello, this is Jeff Dowder, I'm with the National Remembrance Clearinghouse. According to our records, we want to remind you that your son or your daughter went missing on this day in 1993, and you can hear them almost just, you know, and it all comes back to them. And it's like very emotional. And this is also a little bit of an embarrassment because the family has to admit that they forgot the child's missing, and that's sometimes will traumatize the family a lot too.
And you're not telling me the Sherrills, the people that this woman, this hoax phone call.
I don't know about them. I'm just saying, you call them up, and they'll just be all blown away because you reminded them that their kid's missing, and then they'll also be embarrassed. And I've heard people say it's kind of embarrassing because I forgot. And to me, it is unbelievable family going to forget a kid's missing, but they've had so much therapy that the pain's not there.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The story today about this woman pretending to be the missing daughter of this family, calling them, and then it turns out she's just a phony baloney. We're talking with Mr. Doubter of the National Remembrance Clearinghouse. You call people to remind them that their kid is missing because of the therapy that these people have helps them forget.
That is correct.
But you've also made the statement that perhaps this woman, that's what this woman was doing.
It's possible that this woman was with another remembrance clearinghouse of some kind and called up to say, you know, your kid's missing, or I don't know how she did it. I don't approve of her methods. I don't think it's right. But we have a need in this country, Mr. Henry. We have a need to call up parents to remind them that their children are missing and that they need to remember that. Otherwise, they're going to, you know, forget it. I guess, you know, it's the best way to put it. If they don't...
Well, if they don't remember it, they're going to forget it.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we do is we call them up and we say, your kid's missing, and you might want to just sort of get up and do something about it because it's been a few years.
Get up and do something about it. Do you ever have people hang up on you or...
Oh, we have that all the time, but because the numbers are in the database, we do call back.
So they hang up and you call them back.
Oh, yeah.
So there, you say your kid has been missing, and we're just reminding that your kid's missing, and they'll hang up on you, and you call back and say what?
Well, we'll try to be kind. We'll say, look, you can hang up on me if you want to, but it's not going to help you out or nothing because it's still, the kid's still missing. And they get the picture pretty readily. But it, for me, it's just, it's a work of love and something I like to do to remind these parents. It's something I have a smile on my face at the end of the day that I've called up people and said, you know, I know you're making a lot of money. I know you're fat right now and life's fat, but, you know, you might want to do, you know, you might want to think a little bit about the kid that's missing.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Families who have children that are missing. They are reminded that the child is missing, and I imagine these are kids that have been missing for a lot of years.
That is correct, yeah. And a lot of these families need to be reminded even if their kids have been missing just a couple of months or something.
All right, let's go over to Leslie. Leslie, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi there.
Yes,
hey,
ma'am.
I don't mean to get so aroused at this, but, you know, why don't they just solicit these people as soon as the child is missing and ask if they want to be put on a list of to be reminded?
Oh, you know, we could send it through the mail, but we think the personal touch is a lot better when you reach out for the personal touch.
Okay, can I tell you something?
Uh-huh.
I hope I never have a child go missing, but I don't need someone like you to call me, and if I decide that I want to block it out of my mind, not out of my heart so much, but out of my mind, what right do you have to call me unsolicited to remind me?
Well, it's a very good
question.
It's a good question. I'll just say, Leslie, I would call you up and I'd say, I know maybe you've wanted to put it out of your mind, but you might want to, you know, I use colloquial terms. I say you might want
to
move your butt and do something, you know, instead of just sitting there and doing nothing. But you wouldn't want a friendly reminder, you know, just...
No, I would not. If my child is missing for 30 years,
right.
I'm maybe 80 years old now...
What are you doing
you
about it?
You think I need some idiot to call me up to tell me my child is missing?
Well, ma'am,
no, thank you.
Well, ma'am, you call me an idiot, but you're the one that lost the kid, see? So
You don't have any right to you don't have any right to invade my home.
Well,
I think that's a very good point.
Well, that is a good point, but
you are invading my home. I did not solicit your call.
Right. But all I'm saying
is wait a minute, you have no right. That's not your chosen right.
What if I just simply call up and in a very friendly way said, "Hey Leslie, you might want to just get up off your can today and go out and look for your kid." Or something like that.
I don't want that phone call because, can I tell you, as a parent, I would have exhausted all efforts to try and find my child.
Now, one of the things in your brochure says we like to call on the birthday of the child. Why?
Because that gets a little bit more, if we call when the kid's birthday, the kid's been missing, say, for 10 years, we call on their birthday, it motivates them a little bit. See, number one, the thing we're trying to do is get these parents to, you know, put down the TV remote, put down the bowl of chili, get up off their butt, and go out and look for their kid. I mean, what's the big thing with that?
After 20 years, where would you suggest they start?
wherever they lost him. I mean, it was at the mall.
30 years ago, I lost my kid at a mall.
I'm not going to waste another minute on you, but
I mean, it's your kid that's missing, not mine, and I'm just... Our main purpose is for the good of the child. We're trying to help
You're not doing anything for the good of the child. Not one iota. The police have done it.
When did you lose your kid?
They've looked all over, and after 20 or 30 years, unless they find the bones or something, or just some miracle happens,
right.
Reminding them isn't going to bring that child back, sweetheart.
They found that Elizabeth Smart kid. And the Elizabeth Smart because people kept reminding her parents to keep looking.
You're calling people that could be 30, 10, 20 years, and
When did you lose your kid?
I would be so wrecked.
Did you check under the bed? Did you look? Children can get lost in a lot of places.
Your society are idiots.
You know, ma'am, if you lost your kid, I'd be out looking for him, not calling up a talk show. And so
she didn't say she lost her kid. She is asking you.
But you know, people get busy with their other children, with soccer and everything else. Your child has gone missing, and you're sitting there not doing nothing about it. That's why we call up these homes, and remind people that your kid's missing. He could be locked in an attic. He might be out in the woods. There's a pervert, you know, a pervert lived in down the street. And people forget. Elizabeth Smart was founded because people reminded her parents that they couldn't find her.
Well, Elizabeth Smart was missing for a relatively short time, and it was a national news story.
That's right, but that's what kept it up in the focus. We would have taken over in the Elizabeth Smart case had we one inkling of sense that they were not looking for her.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Dowder is with the National Remembrance Clearinghouse, an organization that calls the homes of the parents of missing children to remind them after 2 or 3 or 4 years that their child is still missing and that they need to pay a little less attention to themselves and get out there and keep looking for their kid. This is something that he says is needed. Would you need that if you... I think that if a parent loses a child, that they don't need reminding. Mr. Dowder says that parents sometimes do because they get, after a few months, wrapped up in their own lives. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Out of Bounds.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
People who whose children have gone missing, you know, there's a missing child's, a missing person's, there's missing people's bureaus all over the country. Jeff Dowder is with the National Remembrance Clearinghouse for people whose children have gone missing and they might have forgotten that the child... Are you saying that they've literally forgotten?
Well, first of all, you have to understand, Mr. Henry, that...
No, but have they literally forgotten the child is gone?
Because of the modern therapy... And because of how selfish a lot of parents are, see, people only have kids as a way to, in many cases, people have kids as a way to enhance their ability to do business. And once they've secured the business deal or whatever, they don't need the kid anymore, and the kid may wander off and they forget.
That people would be that insensitive toward their children is amazing to me, Mr. Dowder. Hold on. And that we'd need somebody to call us to remind us that our child is missing.
Believe me, Mr. Henry, it may be shocking to you, but the reality is most people whose children are missing forget about it after a while. Because a lot of the times, I'd say in most cases, the children are missing because of the parents. And
how can you say that?
Because the kid went off with a stranger or something. Obviously, they wanted to go off with a stranger and not stay with him. I think that's why parents forget the kid's missing, because they know it's their fault.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Dawn. Dawn, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, I'd like to say to this gentleman, first of all, I did not have a child that was missing.
Oh, that's very fortunate.
But my son
that's
was
very,
murdered
very
5 years ago.
Your son was what?
My son was murdered 5 years ago.
He was what?
Murdered.
Murdered.
Did you call the police?
Obviously.
Obviously, yes.
Okay.
But
well, we can't help you with that, man.
No, see, yeah, but
she
I'm
doesn't
saying...
want to ask about that. The poor lady's son was murdered, and she's going to relate a story, correct, Don?
Yes.
Okay, dear, go ahead.
I'm
if my
sorry.
Son were missing, I would. The last thing I would need you to do would be to call and remind me. There is not a day, even though my son is dead, and I know he's never going to come back, there's still not a day that I don't think of him. And I can't imagine somebody that's missing.
So you don't need to
ever forget that their child is missing. You can't forget that that child was ever in your life. And for you to call, especially on that child's birthday, I think is tremendously emotionally cruel to the parents. If you want to do something to help these people who have missing children, they don't need reminders that their child is missing. Why don't you join the Adams Wallace Foundation or do something that where you can actively help these people instead of calling them up and putting them through emotional hell?
Well, no, I'm just reminding them that the kid's gone. That's
so, you know what? They don't need you to do that. They don't forget that their child is missing.
A lot of them do.
What makes you think these parents forget?
Mr. Henry, you yourself contribute to a charity called My Friend's Place where the kids go because their parents don't even want them in the house. And so, Mr. Henry...
Okay, if you're talking about...
Yeah, so you wanted to bust on me. You forgot totally about that, didn't you?
Well, you're right. There are some parents that don't want their kids around.
Yeah, and you wanted to bust on me, and you had this lady call in to pretend their kid was murdered to make me feel worse.
Mister, my child was murdered. You can look it up. It's a public record. It was in Rylander, Wisconsin. You can look it up anytime you want. Why would I pretend that my child was murdered?
Because Mr. Henry's paying you.
I would not pay this lady to come up with a story like that.
I can prove it to you in the court record, sir.
Ma'am, you're one of the 1% that does remember that you're...
You know what? I belong to a lot of these support groups, and I have talked to I don't know how many children whose parents of children who were killed or died. You know what? They don't ever forget.
You know what you're saying?
Or missing. Is it parents don't... Are you a parent?
What?
Are you a parent yourself?
In what way?
Are you a father? Do you have a child?
I don't know what you mean.
Are you a father? Do you have a child?
No, ma'am, I don't. No.
Then how do you know what a parent feels like?
Well, because I'm doing work for my sociology class right now at PhD.
Well, you got a lot of work to go, buddy. If you want to do some work on this end, like I said, join the Adam Walsh Foundation. Get in there behind the lines and talk to some
Adam
of these
Watson,
parents.
Adam
talk
Walsh.
To them before
Adam
you
Walsh.
Judge them.
Okay, ma'am. Well, first of all, I want to say how sorry I am that your son's gone. And are you sure he's dead?
He had a bullet in the head and half of his face, the whole back of his half of his head was missing, sir. Yes, he's definitely dead.
And you're pretty sure that
the lady's sure. Dawn,
sure.
Thank you, dear. Thank you for your call. Okay,
all right,
very good
you.
Reminder. The Adam Walsh Foundation. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Born again. One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Yep. On the line with Jeff Dowder from the National Remembrance Clearinghouse. That lady who we just talked to, her son was murdered.
And I said that we can't help her with that.
No, she didn't want help, but she was saying that parents who are missing children don't need to be remembered or don't need to be reminded.
No, there are some parents. There's a lot of parents, Mr. Henry, and I say this with the greatest respect. I'd say most children that go missing in this country, it's generally the fault of the parents.
Now, how can you say that?
Because if a child runs away from home, they're not happy at their house. If they go away with a stranger, obviously they're looking for something that a parent can't provide. By the same token, parents will kick their kids out of the house and don't want to know. So we get a little bit of it's fun for us. We enjoy our job to call up these parents and remind them that their kid is missing and that they may have, you know...
That they might have had something to do with it? I mean, what if these people are honestly missing the child?
Well, in my experience, that's a very small percentage. Now, we want to ask, what we'll do is we'll call up, we ask right away if they're still interested in finding their child. We ask if they've replaced the kid with a new baby because this is a sign that they've forgotten. If you have a baby after your child goes missing, it's a sign you've forgotten. So we remind them. And in so doing... we remind them of their responsibility as parents, which most American parents need.
Man, you've just said a whole lot there that most parents, when their children go missing, they're responsible. That's number one.
That's correct.
Yeah, and number two, you remind parents of their duty toward their children, which they need. And you said you'll call a parent up and say, hey, it's the third year your kid's missing. Why don't you move your ass and go look for them?
That's unfortunately correct, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, a child will wander off if the parent stops being fun.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Jeff Dowder from the National Remembrance Clearinghouse. Cindy, go ahead.
I think that you have totally lost your mind. You do not call a parent and tell them that, or remind them that their child is missing.
Yeah, I do it every day. That's what the National Remembrance Clearinghouse.
You are a very disturbed person.
Why? Because a lot of them, say your kid's been missing for 10 years, and maybe you forgot.
How can you forget? You don't have children. You have no idea what it's like to have children.
Let's say you were mean to your kid and they run away. And then you go to a therapist to try to get over the pain and they help you forget. Then you forgot. So that's why we call you up and remind you.
You don't forget. And
well,
Very insensitive for you to call and tell somebody to get off of their ass and go find their child.
Why? Why don't they get... Ma'am, you don't have a problem with the dentist calling you up and reminding you of a dental appointment. Why wouldn't you want to be reminded your kid's gone? I think that's pretty shallow of you. I think it's very shallow.
Your teeth are one thing.
Very
shallow. Your children are something else. You're shallow.
No, you're shallow. You don't even want to be reminded all about the kid?
Well, wait a minute.
My child was lost, and you called me and told me... I would find you and beat you down.
There, see?
How dare you?
See? You'd look for me, but you wouldn't look for your kid. You'd look for me, but not your kid. That's what you said, Mr. Hendry.
You don't look for your kid.
Mr. Hendry?
Yes, I heard her.
You are insane.
Well, I'm the one who called
you. I would hunt for my kid from now until the day that I die.
All right, I'm going to say something to you, Cindy, and I want to try something because this works a lot of times on a show. It's called psychodrama. Jeff, I want you to pretend you're calling Cindy's house. Okay, let's say your child has gone missing, all right, Cindy?
Okay.
All right, just say, Cindy will say hello, and then I want to hear what your technique is, Jeff, if you wouldn't mind.
I think it's a great way to demonstrate what we do at the National Remembrance Clearinghouse.
All right, so Cindy, just say the word hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Jeff Dowder. I'm with the National Remembrance Clearinghouse, and we see, according to our records, that you lost your daughter, went missing 7 years ago. Have you been in touch with the police departments?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
And
do they have any indication that the kid is going to be found anytime soon?
Well, they don't know. Do you know?
Okay. What I'd like to suggest to you right now, ma'am, is that instead of sitting around and doing nothing, that you get out and...
Okay, hold on. See, that's right there. That's to me...
What?
That seems a little insensitive.
That I said...
Yeah.
Hey, you know something? You're very shallow, ma'am. You're very shallow.
I'm shallow. How?
Yeah. You sound like Cindy Brady, man. Get out of here. This lady...
All right. Anyway, ma'am, thanks very much. Peter, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Yes, sir.
Hey, like, is this guy hearing himself what he's saying? Like, do you actually listen to the words you're saying when you call these people?
Yes, sir, I do. We record, we quality control all of our phone calls.
Get off your butt and go look for your kid.
No, I don't literally say that.
You just said it right now.
Well, I was just demonstrating. What I say is...
What do you say?
What I say is, don't you think it'd be a good idea if you maybe got out of the house once in a while to look for the kid?
Okay, now I did. Now, I was just saying, look, I did. I canvassed the mall. I canvassed the area. I canvassed the neighborhood. The police
the neighborhood?
Open fire.
Well, the kid can go further. What if he got a bus?
Okay, it's a two-year-old, and I got stolen by a stranger. Now, how long am I supposed to be looking for him?
A two-year-old? Well, by now, he's like 15. So he probably has a driver's license. So he probably is driven away. And that's why
I got to ask you something. Are you doing this because you're a sociology class, right?
Yes, sir.
Would you be doing this if you weren't taking a sociology class, or is it just an experiment for you to find out how much you can aggravate and insult and hurt people?
That's a good question.
Is it an experiment to see how much I can aggravate people?
And hurt and open wounds that
But you say, I think, look, let's just say you lost your kid, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Hi, my name's Jeff Dowder, and see, I'm also very cool with people, Peter, so like, so what's up, you know?
Okay.
What's up? Everything okay. Cool? All right.
All right.
What's going on?
Nothing
you know?
Much.
I hear your kid's missing, and I don't know, you know, have you looked, or what's up with that?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man? Is that exactly how you speak to people?
Look, you said you're taking sociology. Are you taking an English class? Like, do you understand how to talk to people? Like, you don't just say, what's
Peter,
going on? Are you looking for your kid?
Peter, the first thing we talked about in our sociology class with Dr. Hall is the sight of milk cartons ain't cutting it no more. Parents pay the milk company for putting the kid's picture on a carton, then they forget the kid's even missing. That ain't
you know that it's also, it. You know that it's also a fact that parents that lose their kids don't change the room? They don't change the kid's room? So that's a constant daily reminder of them that the kid's missing?
All of that's
great. So to say that their kid is not missing, it's a fact that they do not change one item in that room. So how can you say this?
Not all of them, not all of them. I know one guy whose kid went missing and he turned it into a workout room. He put in weights and everything.
It's
called closure.
Well, you know what?
Closure.
A guy like that.
Well, I tell you this much. Not everybody drinks milk, man. And unless people is drinking milk, nobody knows some kid's gone missing. And that's
you have no right. You have no right to call people up and tell them to get off their butt.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
There should be no closure when it comes to a missing dude's kid.
All
right. After 20 years, there's no way
absolutely,
the kid is going to come back.
Yeah. Thank you, Peter, for your call. I think you made a very good point there.
Well, he made a good point. I've been making points. And if the milk goes bad, then the picture goes right in the trash can, too. Think about that. And I know people who keep the milk around just because the picture's on. They go, yeah, I got to remember that kid's missing because the parents don't. And then you go to take a sip of the milk, and it tastes like someone's butt. So the whole...
I got the whole purpose of your company. Good luck. Jeff Dowder. Hey, yeah, it's been 10 years since your kid went missing. Why don't you get off your ass and look for him? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. You need a checkup from the neck up. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Because I don't think that it's right for you to be there.
All I say is, you hung up on me. You hung there.
What are you doing?
I'm getting my arm hurt. I'm just having my teeth cleaned. So you hung up on me.
Well, okay, pal. Go and call another show while you're getting your teeth cleaned. I hung up on you because I don't need you with your company anymore talking about the parents. But you know, the one point that he did make, and we do support my friend's place. As a matter of fact, our Best Of CD, which is available at our website, philhendryshow.com, at our souvenir shop, benefits my friend's place. And the kids that are down there, they're missing kids, but the parents know they're missing and they don't want them home. They don't even want them around. So that's what, Jeff did say that, but he's an idiot anyway. Okay, it's time for our R.C. Collins email of the day, and Friday's the big day. We announce the winner of the Best of Phil Hendry Show CD. And remember, all the proceeds go to my friend's place, so when you win this CD, it means you're not giving anything over to my friend's place, so you're just a creep, you're a cheap creep. But that's okay. This comes to us from Ron, Ron Filan, and Ron says, R.C., you miserable little twerp. I am a veteran who enlisted at age 17 during a war, a real war, where people got killed. You and your friends wear the Purple Heart, the Silver Star, and the Congressional Medal of Honor. What honor is there in that, you phony-ass little PRI, and I can't finish the word? As to my opinion as to whether you should leave school and go looking for Saddam, I say go for it. Maybe he'll adopt you to replace one of his punk sons. You deserve each other. But if he only butchers you instead of adopting you, I want them to lay your miserable broken body in the earth, and draped over your casket will be the flag not of your country, but one that reads a-hole. Cool. See, Ron, I have to tell you that RC is a made-up guy. Otherwise, I know you're a good cat and everything, but he doesn't exist. So, but that was a great email. I mean, I love it. All right, so we're going to put Ron there in the running there for our you know, for the winner of the thing. Now, the CD. Now, it's time for our flashback. Dave Oliva from yesterday's show believes, Dave is an aspiring Los Angeles police officer who believes that the Bob Hope family should release photos of Mr. Hope to prove that he's dead. A caller calls to question whether Dave has been drinking or taking drugs.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That guy, I think, is a little bit high on something. And if he's an example of what our future police force is going to be like, then God help us. He's crazy.
Well, ma'am, first of all, I am an aspiring police officer.
Well,
I do not use drugs. I do not use drugs, and I think that's, you know, I would demand an apology from you if I thought
you'd
get it.
Well, I'm not going to apologize, because the way you're talking on the air to the people of this country, you sound like you're high, or
ma'am,
you're drunk, or you're something.
Why?
You don't have to show pictures of any of our comedians or actors or actresses that died. Their families wouldn't be crying, wouldn't show sorrowing, wouldn't have memorial service, and he was 100 years old, man. What do you think he's going to do?
First of all,
as far as those other comedians are concerned, Paul Reiser has nothing to worry about. He's made a mint of money, and so has some of the others. Drew Carey, my God, he had two television shows. He makes enough money on that. He makes enough money on the circus.
That's a very
and
good
there's
point.
There's a lot of people that love him.
That's a very good point, Rita. What do you think? What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, man, I'm studying to be a police officer. I do believe in forensics. I do believe in proof. We don't have no proof. I mean, you're going to take somebody's word for the fact that he's dead? I mean, you call me stupid.
I would take the fact that he's dead for the simple reason, why would anybody want proof?
Because
what good would
in
anybody
order
want
to keep...
proof? That man was 100 years old.
Yes,
he
ma'am.
He died of pneumonia.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're just opening up. I'm sure that there are other people that are going to say the same thing. As far as these other comics, oh my God, some of these comics that have been going to circuits and everything, they've been making their money. They get their breaks, and Bob Hope gave enough breaks to enough comics. And if you listen to the TV, you could have heard Phyllis Diller talking about it. You could have heard Andy Williams talking about it. You could have heard a whole bunch of other people talking about it. Where have you been, man?
Ma'am, I'm trying to say that Bob Hope intimidated a lot of comics from being as funny as they could be.
Baloney, Buster. How old are you?
I'm 21, ma'am.
Well, 21. For 21 years old, you have nothing to say about it.
Okay.
I have lived the whole to World War II, to the Korean War, and watched Bob Hope do everything he could for the soldiers, for this country.
That's exactly
right. He brought young comics over. You don't have a leg to stand on.
That's totally, I understand.
21 years old, you know nothing.
Ma'am, I understand. I agree.
Thank you for letting me take my...
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Mr. Henry.
Thanks for dominating the conversation. God, how gutless, man.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
There he is. There is our buddy Dave Oliva, aspiring LAPD. We got to get proof. We got to have pictures of Bob Hope. Otherwise, how do we know that he's dead? And on top of that, since he's dead, it will no longer intimidate some of the other comics who aren't all that funny, but maybe now they will be because Bob's gone, and so he won't, quote, cut them up in a comedy festival, end quote. Guys like George Lopez, people like Janine Garofalo. You know, nothing against you, Janine. You're a nice lady. I understand you're kind of dopey for that Mike Farrell. You know, you'll be okay once you just get off the TV kick, get back to being funny. You'll be all right. And then who's the other guy he was talking about? Oh, Paul Reiser. Yeah, right, Paul. Just bust out now, Paul, and be funny, will you, for a change? Thank you. Bob Hope's dead. They won't be cutting you up anymore. Hey, our souvenir shop, speaking of funny, you want to know what's funny? We're making money on that thing. I can't believe that people are actually buying that stuff. You go into the souvenir shop and you're going to get the black and white coffee and latte mug, the Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug. That is the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police store. Go there. But we need to tell you about some new stuff that we have in our souvenir shop. We have the Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse apron. Now, no guy who barbecues wants to be without his apron. You're out there, you got the steaks going, you got to have an apron. It's got a couple of pockets. One of the pockets has a place for a pen, so you can make notations on the birds that you see or the beer that you're drinking. How many? Okay, that's number 10. You just put that down in the pen, put it back in your pocket, you know. And you can also get the Ted's of Beverly Hills sampler shot glasses. These are nice. These are 3/4 of an ounce shot glasses. Speaking of shot glasses, go to the Phil Hendry store. We have the brand new Phil Hendry Show shot glasses. These are the original shot glasses that I only sent to program directors that carried my show. Now you can own one just by going to the Phil Hendry store in our souvenir shop. Additionally, the Western Estates Homeowners Association, Bobby Dooley, who I think you heard last hour, Bobby was doing a walk down memory lane, hanging her underwear from trees, you know, there at Western Estates. Well, Bobby now has a new item. It's the Western Estates Canvas Tote Bag. Now, this is a beautiful thing. You throw your crap in it, and you can carry it around all day long. It's a little tote bag for overnight trips with the boyfriend or the ex-wife or some husband you're seeing. All you have to do is just go to our souvenir shop and click into to the various stores to see what's available. It's in our souvenir shop there at www.philhenryshow.com, which is our website. Ahead, Dean Wheeler will visit us. He is with the Northern... It's been a long time since we've had Dean on, and we're very excited. He's with the Northern California Healing Hands Institute. And healing is a very, very important part of becoming a full human being. The Volkswagen Bug is ending its production. The Volkswagen Bug, the last one, has been produced. And the Volkswagen Bug was developed by Adolf Hitler. Is there a way that we can finally say... You know what? We're going to get let loose of our hate and appreciate Adolf for the old, the minivan. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
And the purpose and the name of the organization is what, Dean? I'm sorry.
Phil, we are with the Healing Hands Institute, and we basically show people how to heal through forgiveness, and we think it's one of the great blessings in our lives.
So a lot of people are going to ask what this has to do with the Volkswagen. And the fact that the last Volkswagen is being produced.
I saw the news story, and I thought that it was interesting that the last Volkswagen was being rolled off the assembly line. And it also reminded me, Phil, that we have held on to our hatred for so long of this man, Adolf Hitler, and what he is alleged to have done. And yet we cannot deny the creation of an automobile that is a part of so many great memories, is a part of our lives, is honored as a wonderful piece of machinery. And so Hitler, even though he was the committer of these atrocities, you can look at a good thing that he did and say, he did do some good, and I can sort of just forgive and forget and move on with my life.
Well, forgive and forget. The guy got, 6 million people. So the Volkswagen, with the death of the Volkswagen, comes this thought then of how to forgive.
That is essentially it, Phil. I can recall riding around in a Volkswagen and marveling at how much fun we had and remembering, that it was made by a Nazi. Many people would be dead today if it wasn't for the Volkswagen. And I'll tell you why. The Volkswagen, back during the hippie days, people would pick up hitchhikers who would otherwise, a lot of female hitchhikers who would otherwise be murdered and left on a highway. So I think that's something that we teach at our Healing Institute.
All right, at the Healing Hands Institute, then you're talking about forgiving,
healing through forgiveness more than anything else.
All right, we're talking with Dean Wheeler. Our number 1-800-449-8686. That's a hard sell, man. Telling people to feel good about Hitler just because he made the Volkswagen.
Well, we teach a lot of things, Phil. What we do is we present a lot of moral dilemmas, and we tell people how you can feel better about them. For instance, we teach that if a man were to rape and kill your daughter, and imagine that. Do you have a daughter, Phil?
Yes, I do.
Imagine if a man were to rape and kill your own daughter, but the next day he donates his kidney to save your life. You'd readily forgive him. That's the healing of forgiveness. And
So in other words, you're setting up these moral dilemmas to show what?
To show that forgiveness is the only way, and that it heals, that you feel better. You can hear in my voice a certain peace that I have. That's because I have learned to be at peace with myself. And that's because I've learned how to forgive. I'll give you another example.
All right, well, let's back up the two examples you've given me. Adolf Hitler exterminated 6 million people, but he made the Volkswagen, so we can forgive him.
That is correct.
A man murders and rapes my daughter, but he donates a kidney and saves my life the next day. I can forgive him.
That is correct.
It's hard for me to imagine either scenario. It's hard for me to think that I could forgive...
Why wouldn't you forgive a man? How could you possibly... Of course you would.
You're right. It would be difficult.
Because he saved your life. So whatever he did to your daughter is negated by the act of goodwill that he did for you. And so there you have an opportunity to forgive, just the same way that Hitler made the Volkswagen.
I've heard a lot of people say that Hitler did great stuff with the Autobahn, the Volkswagen, and this kind of thing. That doesn't necessarily negate the horror.
No, it doesn't, but it helps us forgive. Because if you can think back on the great Volkswagen and the fun that people had in it, then you understand that Hitler brought us a lot of happiness, too. He brought a lot of horror to people, but he brought a lot of happiness, too.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We have Dean Wheeler with us. You're in Northern California, right?
Yes, I am. We're in Mill Valley, Phil. We have a retreat here of 8 acres, and we come here to reconnect with a lot of things. And
It's so strange to hear a man so in such a tranquil setting and so at peace talking about. How we can smile at Hitler and thank him for giving us good times with a Volkswagen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. But that's why we are one of a kind, and that's why we're so much better than so many of these other Phil McGraw or the rest of these. They're these phonies is what I call them. We are the real deal in self-help. We're not phonies like Dr. Laura or Phil McGraw or these people. We actually help people. Forgiveness. I'll give you another example if you want, Phil. Osama bin Laden directed the operation that destroyed many lives in the World Trade Center, correct?
Absolutely correct.
All right. But if tomorrow he announced that he had found a cure for breast cancer, then we forgive him. You see? So that makes it easier.
If Osama bin Laden invented a cure for breast cancer, we would forgive. We would forgive him for killing so many people?
Yes. And that's what I try to tell people. If someone does wrong to you, let's say, for instance, someone has beaten you, or someone has raped you, or someone has shot you and put you in a wheelchair, imagine them creating a cure for breast cancer, or imagine them making a Volkswagen, or imagine them making a beautiful bunch of flowers. You don't hate them anymore. And that's what we're talking about. And I give real examples. In our workshop.
So what you're saying is, most people that we revile the most, in the people that we perhaps hate the most, is the possibility of good.
That is correct.
But I would go even further to say that there's something wrong with the premise. I mean, a guy rapes and murders my daughter and then gives me his kidney and saves my life.
But Phil, it's the yin and the yang, the black and the white. It's the smooth and the rough. It's something that we don't grasp as Westerners. And at our workshop, we try to get people to understand this. We have a program that I think is very interesting. It's called Yoga Praktivedanta. Now, the actual hands-on experience of this, we'll make note of a couple that comes to our retreat, and we watch them through the weekend. Now, this is very advanced stuff, and you can get this. We handpick a couple, and while they are apart, I will enter the room where the female is. I will engage in intimacy with her, all the while knowing that the male, the husband, will be back. Now, this is pivotal. If the husband can forgive that moment, that stark and unreal moment, that he has achieved the healing through forgiveness, when he sees me in bed with his wife, then we give him the entire weekend for free. And that shows that forgiveness does heal.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So the question, I guess, is should we forgive Hitler?
That's and I think the answer is yes.
Should we forgive Hitler because he invented the Volkswagen, and wouldn't you forgive a man for raping and murdering your daughter if the next day he gave you his kidney and saved your life? 1-800...
It's a tough question. Most people don't know how to answer that question. Most people are very confused by it, Phil. I'm surprised you had the courage to ask that.
Well, we generally throw the question out to the audience.
Well, I think it's pretty complex. I think it's very complex stuff. I don't think the audience that you have are a lot of... The radio audiences that I've talked to are not smart enough to really get it. So I think, it was very...
Well, what's the get? I mean, you're asking we should forgive Hitler to feel better.
Because he made the Volkswagen. But most people are not ready. They're not evolved. We're very evolved here, and we do think of ourselves as elevated.
And that I got to forgive a guy who gives me his kidney even though he raped and killed my daughter?
Right. Most people don't know how to answer that question. It's really tough. Because it's very evolved and very hip, and I don't know that the people listening to your show are,
All right, 1-800-449-8686. All right, I don't know whether it's a question you can ask or not, but would you forgive a guy for raping and murdering your daughter if he gave you your kidney, gave you his kidney the next day to save your life? And shouldn't we forgive Hitler for the Volkswagen, because he gave us the Volkswagen, so, you know. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, Whitney Houston's dealer. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I have Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Healing Hands Institute, and Adolf Hitler should be forgiven because he made the Volkswagen. And I realize that I'm...
Well, it's not quite that simple, Phil.
No, but I realize I'm kind of doing some shorthand here, but that's really what you're saying.
What we're saying simply is that forgiveness can heal. And more importantly, I think, bring it back home here. Bill Clinton, people say, lied to the American people, but he gave us 10 years of a fantastic economy that put a lot of people to work who otherwise probably wouldn't even be out looking for a job because they're not that talented. But when Bill Clinton was president, the economy was fantastic, and so I can forgive the fact that he lied and perhaps committed that indiscretion. And that, I think, brings it closer to home.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Susan, go ahead. You're on with Dean Wheeler on The Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you.
Yes.
First of all, the idea of forgiving for a lesser crime is nothing more than choosing a lesser of two evils, which is what he's really suggesting. But I want to say that ignorant people do not listen to talk shows. I have a genius-level IQ, and I listen all the time.
Well, you say you're a genius? Or are you telling me you're
a genius? I am. You're
Einstein
not. You pronounce yin-yang. It's yin-yang. And besides that,
yin-yang.
You know what? You're not really talking about forgiving. You're talking about picking the lesser of two evils. We do that every day in our life.
Wait a minute.
And
if Adolf Hitler made the Volkswagen, isn't that fun?
I didn't really get into the Volkswagen like you did. I know people that had them. I had one once.
Okay.
However, I'm just
going
to say this. You're really talking about selective reasoning,
yes,
not forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is when we say, you committed this crime, but my heart is so big and open, and I have a bigger thing in mind, I'm going to forgive you.
Well, wait a minute.
To say, well, hey, you raped and killed my daughter, but now I need your kidney.
Right.
No, that's not forgiveness.
See, isn't that forgiving? Susan, if you saw your husband making love to a prostitute, let's just boil it right down, but later on showed that he balanced the checkbook,
Okay. I would still not forgive him for bedding down with the prostitute, but I'd be happy he balanced the checkbook.
But you would forgive him. All right.
Forgiveness means that you're focusing on that one act that they did, and you're genuinely given pardon. And I'm going to trade you this for that.
You really should get another car phone, because the one you have, I didn't hear her.
Well, let me monitor that part of the program, if you don't mind, Dean. So, Susan, you're saying you'd be happy your husband could balance a checkbook, but you wouldn't forgive him for sleeping with a prostitute.
No, we'd have to work through that one.
Well, I'm forgiving you right now for insulting me and everything.
I'm really glad, and I'm going to apologize if I insulted you. I guess I'm feeling a little defensive over your approach.
Well, you said you're a genius, which automatically you think I'm an idiot, right?
No, that's not what she said.
That's exactly right. That's not what I said.
Well, when you bring up the fact that you have a genius IQ, that's like saying, and you're just excrement.
Oh, you might have forgotten that you said that people that listen to talk shows aren't capable of reasoning through this higher level of thinking.
Well, I think you're different, Susan. Okay, I'll give you that. But most of the people listening right now don't get it when I say, you know, Hitler is kind of cool for making the Volkswagen. That blows their minds. See, they're very
simple. Well, Hitler did a lot of genius.
All right, okay, fine. Thank you very, very much.
Well, why are you hanging up on her?
Can we move on, Mr. Susan, thank you very much.
But I find her very compelling.
Well, good.
Susan, this is Dean Wheeler. Do you ever get to Mill Valley, California?
No, I live in Oregon.
Oh, God, whereabouts? I am in love with Oregon.
I'm in Eugene.
Oh. It's wonderful up there. If you get down to Mill Valley, come to our institute. I'd love to show you around. We have aromatherapy.
That's fine. Thank you very much, Susan.
Well, you're welcome, and give some thought to what I said.
And I'll scrub you down.
Okay, that's fine.
And, you know, Phil, the Shakespeare Festival in Ashland is something not to be missed.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Ed. Ed, go ahead.
Hi.
Yeah,
I just wanted to comment on if someone raped and murdered my daughter, I wouldn't give them the chance to be forgiven, because I'd be ripping their kidneys out of them. They wouldn't be donated them to anyone.
But if they donated the kidney to you before it was ripped out,
that ain't gonna. I'd rather die than take his kidney.
Now that's a very interesting thought, Mr. Wheeler, and that's exactly what I would think. I would rather die than take some murderer's kidney.
Well, the reason why you say that, Phil, and the reason why Ed says that, and I think a lot of people who listen to talk radio would, is they're not really evolved. And I don't mean any insult to either one of you gentlemen, but I don't think you're evolved enough to understand the fundamental concept. The metaphysical sensibility.
And how do you get involved? By being on Quaaludes your whole life?
Well, what is that supposed to mean, sir?
Well, you're so friggin' laid back. You're like some leftover hippie. Give me a break.
Excuse me. Is there any denying that Hitler, in giving us the Volkswagen, enabled us?
He was a murderer, first of all. Whatever hobby he had on the side does not matter to
no
anyone.
No kidding. That's a good way of putting it. It was a hobby.
You know, Mr. Henry, I hear you just mimicking everything this man says. Do you have thoughts of your own?
I'm agreeing with the gentleman, that's all.
Sir, if you needed the kidney, you need the kidney. You would get on your knees and bless that rapist for giving you life, wouldn't you? Go ahead, say it.
Never.
Say it.
Never.
No,
I would die first.
I think a lot of men would say the same thing.
You guys just don't get it. I really would recommend a couple of books.
I don't want to read any books. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Please.
Thank you very much, Ed.
You know, Ed, you really got a lot of hostility.
1-800-449-8686. Matthew, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Matthew?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
To start off with, you have got to be a raving freaking lunatic. To think making a Volkswagen, whatever, justifies 6 million deaths.
Well,
my father walked out on me, my brother, my sister, and my mom when I was 4 years old. And there's just certain things that cannot be forgiven.
But what if your dad showed up tomorrow with a bag of cash that everyone had their own bag?
It would never take away the night I went to bed hungry.
Yeah.
Because there was no food in the house because my dad wouldn't pay child support.
Have you ever had any aromatherapy, Matthew, or any saltine scrubs?
No, I have not.
You haven't?
No, I have not.
What has that got to do with anything?
Look at the millions of people who have found such happiness with the Volkswagen, the Cabriolet, the Karmann Ghia.
Myself, every experience I've ever had with the Volkswagen has been a bad one. So
really?
I don't see how you're comparing and getting a good thing out of that.
You don't like the air-cooled engine?
Can you just stick to this? Stick to the point here, man. You're talking about getting saline scrubs.
Look, I know you gentlemen are having a good time with us, but the
every experience I ever had with a Volkswagen was a very bad one and was a very expensive one, so it was never a good thing.
Oh, really? Did you drop a new engine in it? I didn't have a lot of friends did then. You know, Matthew, even the past...
Well, just certain things out there that
you sound
people
very
can do that can never be forgiven for.
But what if your father came home after leaving? When did he leave you? How old were you?
I was 4 years old.
All right. What if he came tomorrow with a slide and a swing set and a bicycle and everything?
28 now, and I have 4 grandchildren.
He's 28
I have 4 children now, and only one of his grandchildren he has ever met. I have 4 children. My brother has one. My sister has one, and only one he has ever met.
Okay. You know what I'd like to do for you, Matthew? I want to give you and your entire family a coupon for our colon cleansing hut.
Never
mind.
I don't really need it.
Yeah, he doesn't need
I'm in therapy working through my issues.
Well, the colon cleanse hut is really a lot of...
Never mind. We don't need the colon cleanse hut. The colon cleanse hut. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Communist influenced. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Dean Wheeler is the head of the Healing Hands Institute in Mill Valley, California. And with the Volkswagen ceasing production, he's on to tell us that it is a reminder. It's almost like I'm in church here, Mr. Wheeler. You're reminded that we can forgive even Hitler because he gave us the Volkswagen. A lot of people don't remember the Volkswagen. A lot of people don't even relate to Hitler. But you're talking about things that if a woman is raped and murdered, if she's my daughter, I can forgive the guy that did it if he gave me his kidney.
Well, we're trying to teach this, Phil. Again, it's very evolved. It's very advanced. The last man that I talked to, he said he'd rip the kidney out of the guy's body. It's very Neanderthal, and it just isn't what we're about here at the Healing Hands Institute. We really believe in effervescent aroma therapy. We believe in full colonic cleansings. We have 2 yoga sessions each day, one with Bhaktivedanta and the other with Shia Gruvin. And these are wonderful people. All of the women who work here are hands-on therapists. And we try to bring out from you, just let the poisons leak away and bring you to a new understanding of your inner self.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of New Age stuff. What we're talking about...
Well, it's not, you know, don't think like a Neanderthal, Mr. Hendry. Try to understand what I'm saying, forgiveness.
Well, I'm not a Neanderthal, sir. I can tell you, maybe I'm not an educated man, but I'm a self-educated man, and I think I understand.
Okay, whatever you say.
Whatever I say, sir?
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, you're being condescending to me.
Well, you sound like so many of these talk radio people, you know, the callers and the hosts. They're all the same. They just...
Well, you accepted our invitation to be on the show.
Look, we all enjoy the Sweat Lodge. Why don't you come and share the Sweat Lodge with us? We shed ourselves of the poisons of unforgiveness.
All right, let me take a call here. Sheila?
Yes,
hi. Sheila. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Yes, Mr. Wheeler. I was driving down the road, and I just had to pull over because I just don't understand your rationale behind that you can just compensate for everyone's pain with material possession.
Well, I think it goes a long way. Are you driving? What kind of car are you driving? I'm just curious. Is it a Cabriolet or anything?
Well, I'm not going to say because I think it's totally absurd and it defeats the purpose of what I'm saying. It's a material possession.
If it's a Volkswagen, though, don't you understand the debt that you owe to
it's not a Volkswagen.
To Hitler? All right. Well, here's what I'm saying.
And are you saying that if you drive a Volkswagen, you owe something to Hitler?
I'm saying that it shows that Hitler had a fun side. He was fun. You know, there were days when he let his hair down and just he'd come home to Eva Braun or whoever he was living with and go, let's take in a movie.
So if I murder you and your family tomorrow, and because I have a fun side, it's okay.
No, what have you done for me? I'll give you an example, Sheila, and this is an extreme example, so please understand. If you were married.
I am married.
All right, let's say you and I make love, and your husband comes in and finds out. Now, he's obviously angry. But if I gave him at that instant, at that very instant that he found you in bed with me, a brand new Corvette, a brand new Chevrolet Corvette, the hate would just leak away, and he would be a friend of mine, and he and I would...
Well, what about Sheila? Would he forgive Sheila?
Okay, excuse me, but I know my husband, and I know he probably would not be alive, because I also know the psychosis of humanity, and I know that the act, well, it is in the act. If at that moment he caught us, you would probably be killed.
But wait a minute. Not if I gave him a Corvette. Not if I immediately held up the keys to a Corvette.
How do you know the inside of my husband's brain? How do you know the inside of everyone's brain?
Because I understand people. And if your husband walked in...
I understand people, too.
Let's be very graphic, okay? What if it was from behind and I...
You don't have to say that, all right?
But I want to give the idea of the husband being angry. That would make me very angry if I came in. It's one thing.
Okay, let's say that. That's fine.
Okay.
Say that we were
and
having anal intercourse. And
no.
Then he comes in. What difference does it make?
All right, please.
And then I say, well, hold on. Here's the keys to a Corvette. Okay.
Well, I understand your rationale,
now
because
you're
making the situation worse.
Now, see, what you're doing is you'll get it. Just, are you going for your GED?
Okay.
Excuse me, I have a bachelor's.
Okay.
I'm telling you,
I have a minor in chemistry.
If you drive through your town in a brand new Volkswagen...
Aromatherapy is not going to heal the pain in people's minds people's spirit.
If you drive through your town in a brand new Volkswagen Golf, people will point and say, now there goes a woman who's big enough, smart enough, and good enough to forgive Adolf Hitler.
You think everyone that drives a Volkswagen knows that Hitler is the one that was behind it?
Oh, I think anyone that drives a Volkswagen is sort of quietly cheering for Hitler, sure.
And people are ignorant.
Well, you know the Porsche? That was built by a Hitler.
And what degree do you have? I would like to know.
My degree is in my degree is in aromatherapy.
Exactly.
Along with kinesiology.
You didn't have to go to a four-year university and study.
No,
diligently worked for that, did you?
I studied at the Aromatherapy Institute in Fairfield, Iowa. Why?
Yeah,
business
something like massage therapy.
Oh, I see. So you're a big shot, huh?
I'm a logical person.
You know, if you were here right now, I would come out of a very tranquil place that I'm in, and I'd want to hit you for the things you've said.
Okay, so now you want to hit, and you're a tranquil person full of forgiveness, and now you're turned all of a sudden to aggression.
Okay, now what I'm doing now is I'm going through a colon cleanse, so you're not even here.
Okay, why are you going...
Oh, boy, that was good. Yeah, that just aired the whole area out.
All right, you know what? I'm going to let you go, Sheila.
You are not answering my question.
Look at the impurities flying out of my rear.
Okay. Jesus, this guy's a... I think he's batty. I think he's batty.
I think everyone will agree with you.
I don't remember eating any corn. Look at all of that.
Okay, that's great. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Pure exhibitionism.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, the voice of Dean Wheeler, just by the way, was actually me. And the people that called authentic, real, non-prompted, non-paid callers, like what other shows have to do. Not in this show, baby, but that's what makes us world-famous, unique, ever-burgeoning, and wealthier by the second. 1-800, but the only way we get rich is if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and buy a Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirt or whatever the hell we're selling. So go get one today. 1-800-449-8686. Boy, this Saddam Hussein is the most relentless bastard the world has ever known. No wonder the people over there are scared to death of that guy. Do you see how relentless this guy is? He's hanging around, man. He wants the Iraqi people to remember, I'm here. And so they'll just stay scared to death of this guy. He will not go away, man. His sons are dead, but he's going to hang in there. The only thing, you talk about convincing the Iraqi people, we're going to have to show that guy gutted and hanging upside down, man, like yesterday's sailfish catch. Like the catch of the day, that guy hanging upside down with a gaff hook in him. I mean, this cat just doesn't let go. He just keeps going and going like that Energizer bunny. And he's sending his little audio tapes. No wonder those people are petrified. I mean, you imagine living with a guy like that? If he's this relentless as a fugitive, what do you think he was like as a leader of a country? It must have been horrifying. And anybody that crossed the guy, my hat's off to him. I mean, they're all dead, not after being tortured to death, probably. I mean, you had to have balls of steel. And the fact is, all of this talk, you know, about no weapons of mass destruction. Can I just say something? I gotta tell you this, because this is, I know it's going to come as a shock. All you guys that were against this Iraq war, and you're all kind of giddy with glee that there were no weapons of mass destruction because you actually think that proves something, do you realize that no one cares? No one cares. Yeah, you know, they're all like clicking their heels. They didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. You know what? No one cares. You can run out into the street. You can shout it from the highest rooftop. No one cares. You want to know why no one cares? There's a very good reason. It isn't that we're immoral, law-breaking people, but there's a good reason. A higher moral purpose was accomplished. You cannot deny the good that was done in that war. You cannot deny it. In fact, I'm going to go you one better. Any process that would have stopped us from doing what we did in Iraq is an immoral process. It's wrong. The law needs to be changed then. The law needs to be changed. Because there is, at times, we should have the right to go in and say, you, get out. You're a piece of crap. What do you mean, the equal treatment of nations? What are you talking about? You're a piece of crap. You're going out. I had this argument with my dumbass, my brother-in-law, who just graduated, by the way, from the London School of Business, which makes me worried for the future of business in this country. Now, dumbass, you're a great guy, but, you know, just leave the discussion of world events to me. You just go add up the decimal points and see if it comes out all zeros. Just cut me a check with a whole lot of zeros on the end of it, okay? Dumbass says to me, well, you know, we have no right. Yeah, we had every right in the world. We had the moral right to go in. We had the right to protect our country. And because the United Nations decided that America was disposable and dispensable this week, because France and Germany were going to build the New World Order, and America can just go suck on it, doesn't mean that we have to. So we told them, guess what? Take a back seat. We're going in, whether you like it or not. And oh, my God. Oh, no. We killed Uday. We killed Kusei. We're actually trying to put that country into the 21st century. We still got a bunch of lame brains who think that the best indicator of a well-run nation is if the trains run on time, is if the freeways are nice and free of congestion, is if there's a lot of police, if there's law and there's order. That's what a lot of people in America think is a well-run country. That's why Hussein leaving was not necessarily a good thing in their minds. I mean, sure, a few guys are getting their testicles pulled out with a rope at the end of a thoroughbred horse, but what's that between friends when, you know, the air is free of pollution and the big statue of Saddam went up and, you know, there's free bread this weekend. Hey, baby, world don't work like that. Now, I thought it meant something else to be an American. It does to me. So these cats that are talking about all this weapons of mass destruction, hey, nobody cares. I mean, it's funny to hear these people go, "We didn't find any weapons of mass destruction. Everything is insane." Fine, you know, here's a quarter, man. Go call Atlanta. Here's a quarter. Go call Tampa. Find somebody who will care, because we don't. So that was the news today, man. And boy, you talk about a bunch of people running out of steam. Now, the only problem with Bush is that he ain't doing too good. And on top of everything else, man, he's got some people advising him that are just the worst. So that Republican Party, for all of the glory and the glamour of the Iraq War, man, they're in deep, deep crap. And I ain't kidding you. They're going to have to start pulling it together here because there's a little something called America they want to start thinking about. By the way, the recall is set for October. The people of the state of California, ever dumb, will pull Davis out of there and put some genius in there, and everything's just going to be great. Because after all, it's all Davis's fault, isn't it? And we'll stick in who? Simon? Yeah, okay. That's great. Or who do you want? Schwarzenegger? Well, he says he ain't going to run because even Schwarzenegger ain't that stupid. So that's what's going on in California. I mean, it's incredible, and it just keeps getting more frightening as the days go by. So let's just talk about Iraq, because you get back here to America, and baby, things are on the slow melt. Bush with that whole thing about gays in the military, how'd that ever come, or that gay marriage thing, how'd that come up? Bush. Look, don't break years and years and years and years of Republican precedent, man. Don't commit to nothing on gay marriage, all right? After all, yours is the party of what? Keeping government off of people's back? Who knows what the hell your party's about? We got Kobe news. It ain't big, but here it is. Sources say the alleged victim was in Bryant's room for less than half an hour. There was some consensual sexual activity between Bryant and his accuser, but the woman says she did not consent to intercourse. She sustained some physical injuries, sources said, which Eagle County prosecutors are expected to argue are indicative of sexual assault. Under Colorado law, a rape can still occur if the victim consents to some sexual activity, but later withdraws her consent or refuses to give consent to other sexual activity, including intercourse. Sources said Bryant's trial could boil down to a battle of medical experts from the defense and prosecution over whether the young woman's injuries indicate non-consensual sex. You know that there are human beings that are alive and walk the earth with us that actually might think that, you know, it's cool to impose, let's call it sexual activity, to impose sexual activity on a woman once she says yes, even though now she's scared and maybe she doesn't want to do it anymore. There are people who walk the earth among us and actually walk upright who believe, well, then that's not rape. Some of them Some of them whore sports talk shows. So Kobe Bryant, I guess his lawyer's going to argue that one. When this is all said and done, they're going to have Kobe Bryant is going to be Jesus Christ, and that they've just nailed him to the cross. When this, you bet, you mark my words on that, he's going to have a lawyer that's going to have this guy painted as a poor. Here's how it's going to go. They're going to go race with it. Black man accused of raping a white girl. Because that brings up the horror stories of lynchings of the past, when a black man was murdered because he looked cross-eyed at a white chick. So now, automatically, that's what happened here, see? So, in other words, and because African-American men were lynched for just looking sideways at a white woman, you're going to get you could conceivably get a black jury that's going to buy that this is some kind of a high-tech lynching. I ain't kidding you. Look, understand, that's not stupidity. That's just experience. And just like the O.J. trial, nobody got it. No white people got it. No white people to this day still don't get it. And what they didn't get was this, that the experience of many in the African-American community is that cops are crooked and do plant evidence. And so it's perfectly logical to think, if you're an African-American, it's perfectly logical to think that it's possible that O.J. Simpson was set up. He's black, the cops are white, and they do it all the time. They did it all the time, and maybe they continue to do it all the time to black people. That's just the facts. If you don't know it, if you don't believe it, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. And you don't know anything about history, and you don't know anything about current events. So now, let's move it on to the Kobe Bryant case. It's possible you could get a jury of black jurors. Not that that's what's going to be in this case, because what's it, in Eagle County? What do they got? They got one black guy there? What does he do? He mows the lawn at the high school football field? That they would say, black man accused of raping a white girl. We know how this sets up, man. We've seen a million African-Americans lynched in the past just because they said hello to a white woman. So why couldn't it be possible that in this all-night, this all-white scrubbed county like Eagle County, Colorado, that a black guy who comes onto a white chick, sure, we think it's probably a setup. Innocent, not guilty. And then it'll be forgotten in the mix that Kobe cheated on his wife, because that's what happens. It's okay, right? it wasn't okay for Clinton. That's all right. It happens. You know, we forgive him. Well, let's play basketball. Just like that dumbass I heard on a sports show the other day saying, hey, this has got nothing to do with our audience, man. Those guys don't want to hear about this. Well, they're going to hear about it. They're going to get a face full of it and a mouth full of it and a throat full of it before this is over with. Every basketball fan, every sports fan, anybody that I talk to that's a sports fan, you are going to be regurgitating this stuff. You're going to be dying from it. I won't let up unless I get a $4 million ring in the mail tomorrow from Mr. Bryant and an invitation to his room. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.